It's hour number four of this week's Blues Before Sunrise. I'm Steve Cushing. If you're just now joining us, we're in the middle of an interview with John and Grace Brim, a husband and wife team who had a series of great blues recordings during the 1950s. They were based in Gary, Indiana. This interview took place September 27th of 1993. Back to our interview.
Tell me, baby, what is this I hear? I'm bound you put me down for someone new. I just want to warn you before you make a move. Now be careful, baby, what you say and do. You know I ain't mighty bad to have to do away with you. You know I love you. You know it's true. You talk about leaving me for someone new. It ain't no telling what I might do. Now be careful, baby, what you say and do. You know I ain't mighty bad to have to do away with you. You asked me to. I bought you a fine car to drive in a place you choose. Now be careful. Now, baby, what you say and do. You know I ain't mighty bad to have to do away with you. Come here, baby, look me dead in the eye. You know if you tempt to quit me, that's when you're gonna die. Now be careful, baby, what you say and do. You know I ain't mighty bad to have to do away with you.
Did you guys ever, I mean, either of the two of you or both of you together ever make a dub, not for a record company, but just like a private dub on your own?
Yeah.
Well, I have did a little dub. That's for me, they started. Well, I made a little dub, you know, to hear ourselves, you know. Wasn't with no company or nothing.
You didn't try to take it to a company to promote yourself? You just wanted to hear what you sounded like?
Well, I think I did take a dub to Sunbeam. So I used to help in the cleaning in Chicago on 35th. They had a little label going. They had this sugar. This lady, what name is this woman? Oh, she sang something like Donna Washington. I can't call her name right now. But she did one thing for them on I think it's Sunbeam Labor. That's the name of the cleaner shop they had there on 35th. Because his brother was a ranger and everything. They didn't keep it long. Little Miss Corn Shuck, Maul Young, that was Harry's brother, baby brother. He did a lot of arrangement. He was in college.
What did Harry do? He had a brother Harry, right?
He had a brother Harry, had a brother Richard, and he had a brother Bess. And about four or five of them boys.
And so you brought a dub to the Young Brothers?
Yeah. Yeah, but they didn't do nothing for me. I mean, Maul Young, like you said, I forgot his name. Was handling that part of it. They had a heck of a cleaning business going on. They had a shop, man. They didn't have a cleaning plant. They had a shop, and they bought a cleaning plant from this shop, started a record label. So they got swindled out of a lot of people were dubbing on them or something. I don't know.
What was a dub of that you took to them?
Right at that time, I was doing something, doing it on the style of Bill Gaither. I don't forget what the tune was.
You were on guitar?
Yeah, yeah. See, you know, I told you that Big Meso and Tampa was hooked up together for years, you know. So the Meso would come around while Mean Graves was playing at the AT&T, I think about 47, somewhere in there. And Big Meso heard Graves blow the harp, and so then he told us about this guy in Detroit who wanted to do something, said he could get us on doing some. Well, you know, I was interested in that, you know. Some cutting some songs, you know, and up front money. I made records with we made records with Big Mace, so he took me and my wife to Detroit in 1950. And she did that Strange Man, Mean Man. And I did a couple of tunes for Fortune. And for that, he never did get to release them. So then Meso started playing with me and my wife. You know, he couldn't do too much with that other hand, but he held that left hand, but he had, you know, stroking his. And he was pretty good.
So he was playing a one-handed piano at that point?
Yeah.
Was he playing one-handed on the records themselves?
You know the record we made, Stray Man? That's him playing piano on it. Well, you know, he was right about the baddest piano player at that time.
How about another one that you guys made that was on that same session, Mean Man Blues? I've never seen that. Have you got copies of that?
Yeah, Gray sang it. It should have been on the side of Strange Man. And Mean Man should have been on the flip side. The Fortune record.
You made records. You did some sides, but Maceo also made recordings. Were you on guitar accompanying Maceo on his sides?
Mm-hmm.
And he played one-hand piano.
Yeah, I'm on guitar, bass, and piano.
And who was the... there's a guy here that says James Watkins on those things. Who was that?
James Watkins must have been the bass player.
How did you make connections with Joe Brown and J.O.B.? How did that happen?
He was a newcomer trying to get up, and we met Joe Brown through J.B. Leno, which was a good friend of ours, to his clothes. Remember, before we got to Cleveland, we was all friends anyway. I met J.B. the first week he got here. Because Doug was living in a place where J.B. was living there on State Street. And he told me he could play the guitar and sang his voice like a lady. So Doug was telling me about it. I said, I'm going to bring him over. Me and Gray could meet him. That's even before we got to clean. You remember, Gray? We was on Brownie when Doug brought J.B. Lenore.
Yeah, do you remember we was in Leonard's office when J.B. Lenore first came here?
When he first came here,
when he first came to Chicago.
Yeah, before he got with Leonard, we knew you. Yeah. J.B. didn't know
him. Yeah, I remember.
So he with J.O.B. before he was Leonard. And he with J.O.B. all the time.
Hmm.
When he did things for Leonard, he was still pumping with J.O.B.
Yeah, I know.
But anyway, We did something for Joe B. Johnny, he got help him get up, come and going or something, you know. Joe Brown.
We
and Sunnyland, a few of us.
How did you end up with Sunnyland and Moody on the session?
Moody didn't even been on the session.
Moody was not on that session.
No, Moody never was on a session with me. Would be me and Sunnyland. And I think, Greg, you playing drama on that Trouble in the Morning, wasn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Trouble in the Morning, I forgot what the flip side was.
Oh, let's see, you got Humming Blues, was that?
Sunland
was on that, wasn't he? Humming Blues? Yeah.
You're on Trouble in the Morning,
too? Yeah, Trouble in the Morning, yeah. Sunland's on most stuff I made, J.O.B.
Okay, also Young and Wild and I Love My Baby?
Yeah. Young and Wild, J.O.B. record.
Where would you cut for him?
Or would I do it?
Yeah, where was the studio?
Yeah,
it was down in town, down in Loop.
So he'd use like a regular recording
studio? Yeah,
regular
studio.
Like
yeah.
Universal?
Yeah, it was a big studio, wasn't it?
Down there on Wacker Drive, wasn't it?
Somewhere down there, yeah.
Somewhere downtown. I think it was on Wacker Drive. Somewhere downtown.
I've got a girl. Young and wild. She's a loving kind I want to hold. My arms a little wild. She's just young and wild. She don't understand. She don't know life can be sweet. If I can get her to understand. Men's all tell her she's pretty. Quite natural, that takes a fair. She want to leave me now for someone else. She's just young and wild. She don't understand.
It's Blues Before Sunrise. I'm Steve Cushing, and we're listening to an interview with John and Grace Brim out of Gary, Indiana. Back to our interview.
And I got a record, and I forgot about it. Pete Franklin and I played on the Leroy Carter, Scrapper Blackwell style. And I haven't been so long that I didn't know that was me playing the guitar. And I told my wife, I said, you know who that is? I said, that's Mean Pete. We had to be in the studio because I got Pete to play on some stuff with us in the studio. Moonlight Blues. And Pete Franklin was playing guitar on there. We got Cotton on the tenor sax. Both of them got the saxophone. There's Pete on the guitar on both those sides. I know the Alfred played bass.
Alfred Elkins.
Alfred played bass, kind of, we all used to call him Sucker Mother Water in favor, so he played bass. I ain't saw him in so long. Yeah, Greg, don't you remember? You ought to remember him. You saw him at some places, too. You used to play with somebody. And he favored Mother Water so much, he played bass. He played a session with us. He's playing bass on it. And Ernest Cotton blowing tenor sax, Sutherland on piano.
Right.
And I think I was just singing that Pete played guitar. I don't remember what I was playing guitar to.
Shining out through my munition blind, babe, the moonlight is shining down through my munition blind. Well, it was shining that way tonight, baby. That you always would be mine. Now, baby, there's your pillow. Go lay down and rest your weary head. Now, baby, there's your pillow. Go lay down and rest your weary head. You know they're gonna always love you, baby, and I want you to stay right here.
The thing with Joe Brown, how did that end? How long did it go on? How long did you cut records for him? And what finally put an end to it?
Well, what put an end to it is, you know, Steve, that by being in the record business and knowing for a good while, that he didn't have the national distribution that Chess and Atlantic
and
back
Chess
in that time. They didn't have the national distribution.
Dark clouds rising and the wind begins. like trouble. And the world I know. I've been worried about my baby. Wondering is my baby all right? I've been worried about my baby. Wondering is my baby all right? I'm worried about my baby. Wondering where's my baby? There's thunder and lightning, and the clouds are hanging low. There's thunder and lightning, and the clouds are hanging low. Baby, she may not have no place to go. I want to see my baby, but she's so far away. I want to see my baby. My baby, like we did.
Who had the Random record label? Who owned that?
There was a Jewish fella, had a big distributor on 55th in Chicago, and Roosevelt Sachs was a friend of mine too, and his wife worked it there, and he go out and buy records. You know, we go to different distributors. And Pastor, we had a little label called Randy. And me and Roosevelt Sachs did. I did one record for him. I forgot the name. You got a name over there?
Dark Clouds?
Yeah.
Lonesome Man?
Lonesome Man. That's right. You remember, Gray? Mm-hmm. He recorded that for Pastor on a Randy record label he had. His name was Pastor. Or I don't know the rest of the name. It's big distributor on East 55th.
Okay, how did you bought records there, and Roosevelt's wife worked there? How did the connection? Who suggested that you make a record? Did you approach him about it, or Roosevelt?
Yeah, I approached him, Pastor, about it. I had some good stuff, you know. As a matter of fact, I did something for JLB record called "Trouble in the Morning." And he got it out, played from Randy Record in Tennessee, you know. Randy Record, him down there with John R. They played it some, and Pastor told me he would do this on me. And with me and Roosevelt Sachs on the piano.
So the J.O.B. session came before the Random session?
Yeah, yeah.
You already had a record in hand?
Yeah.
With me. He said, I'm sorry, I haven't got time.
Next step was go with a pad record company, one of the big steps, which was Al Benson. Well, I mean, Albert King, Albert played around with us too over here in Gabriel before he got going too. So Albert, and we went to Al, told him to be brother and so forth. And Al, so John said, you know, I knew Al. And before he got started the record coming. But Abbott went there and was going to cut, you know, a record for Al Benson. And he wanted me to play second guitar for him. And he told Al, I said, I want him to play. If John don't play guitar, he said, I don't want to cut it. And I said, good me. And I said, I also got a number, Al. He said, well, we're going to do this on Albert, and you come back next week. And me and Grace, this is in 54, me and Grace and Eddie Taylor and Jimmy Reed, we all played together most of the time a lot. Went over with me to do the audition. So I walked in from, he got over there at 6 o'clock. We already set up and running down. He got in there, he heard one verse. He said, that's enough. He said, I want to get a dub on this. Said, John, I want to play it 4 or 5 days. So he said he played it. No, he said about 8 days. He played about 4 days. They had to pull it off the air. They went to calling for it, you know, tough time.
Me and my babe was talking, and what she said is true. Said, seemed like time's getting tough. Like they was in 32. You don't have no job. Our bills is past due. So now tell me, baby, what we gonna do? Tough time. Tough time is here once more. Now if you don't have no money, people, can't live happy no more. I had a good job, working many long hours a week. They had a big layoff, and they got poor me. I'm broken, disgusted, in misery. Can't find a part-time job. Nothing in my house to eat. Tough time. Tough time is here once more. Now if you don't have no money, you can't live happy no more. Come on, Eddie. I went down to the grocery store. Said, I'll get a little more food on time. That man said, wait a minute. See, how do we stand? Say, I'm sorry to tell you. You do fall behind. Tough time. Tough time is here once more. Now, if you don't have no money, can't live happy no more.
How did you end up taking Jimmy Reed and Eddie Taylor in there? They were on that record, right?
Yeah, they on there. Tough Time and Gary Stump. Eddie Taylor and Jimmy Reed, my seventh grade.
Well, Jimmy Reed, was he playing with us at the time when you made that record? I think Jimmy was playing with us, wasn't he? Off and on?
Off and on.
Mm-hmm.
And Eddie both.
And Eddie Taylor was playing with Jimmy, so.
How come you folks never were on the VJ label? Did you ever try and make connections there?
Oh, it's a long story, Steve, about that VJ connection.
Did you actually had some contact with VJ?
Oh, yeah, I knew Vivian well, me and her both. She had a record shop over here, and she was a big disc jockey over here for years. And I was supposed to do Tough Time for her. But as I said, it's a long story about that. And I was going to go with her, but something happened, we didn't get together. And I can tell you about it sometime.
You make me feel so blue. You make me weep and moan. You make me feel so blue. You make me weep and moan. You ain't looking for no man. You just looking for a home.
It's Blues Before Sunrise. I'm Steve Cushing, and we're listening to an interview with John and Grace Brim out of Gary, Indiana. Back to our interview.
Well, what happened, Steve, make it short. We went to Detroit, and I told you, Mickey Mason took a stand so far and so far. And if he heard this, he wanted that number to do it again, because a little small company, but she could get away with it. Leonard Chess did. And the number, the man brought it to me, and I took it to Abendum Nephew, distributor record firm, that fell in Detroit, that we made the record for. He was getting going, Fortune Records. And the record that Al Benson, Sam Ibn plugged the record and brought the record, people in, and they, so it was doing good. So Chess wanted it. I said, okay. I said, but why you got to have money? And the Walter and them to play behind. I said, it's doing all right, and we play behind me, Big Mason and so forth, you know. So that was a difficult right there. He said, well, I'll do something on you the next day if I do it on, which I paid was a lie. So I told him, no, don't do it like that. Then he got really stayed on me a long time.
See, you didn't want me to play with Muddy
Water,
but just that one.
Well, if she was Muddy Water and them, they going to do two together, I wasn't going to have any wife. See, and I knew this.
Oh, please.
See, I knew this.
Please.
So.
Please.
So that was the whole idea of that, Steve. And then he kept it against me a long time. I go out and buy a record. He can't fit a heart at me alone. He told the Walter, but I called John sometime. The Walter said, hell no. He said, where's the Walter said? You going to call him tonight. Because Walter told her to tell me to be at the studio. I told Walter, I said, I don't want to do nothing with him. But it's a funny thing, Steve. He recorded that session. He paid me the session money. And he put them records on the shelf. The Rattlesnake, one you like, that was recorded in 1953. And Ice Cream Man. And I got a Lifetime here. And another one, I forgot that's not what it is. Just a Dream. And they put them records on the shelf. He was still angry. He didn't, you know, he was dead before he knew. I mean, he never knew that the Ice Cream Man with Van Halen and Elton sold over 8 million copies.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
But they didn't come out until after Leonard's death when they...
And they leased that stuff out because Phil closed the record company up. And they leased it out, you know, to that particular tune to Warner Brother with Van Halen. Then they were selling it on Chess label all over everywhere else too, you know.
Yeah.
When they did release, but it stayed on the shelf over 20-some years.
When you did this thing with Walter, it lists the aces here, the Myers Brothers and Fred Below. Was that who was on that record?
Mm-hmm. Ice Cream Man.
Yeah.
And Rattlesnake. And all four of them. And
did you,
I got a Lifetime here.
Did you rehearse with Walter and the Aces? Did you guys rehearse that ahead of time?
Mm-hmm. You know, Walter and the Aces, boy, they was heavy anyway, fall right in. Just run it down maybe once. All four of those two.
We're done in the studio.
Mm-hmm. You were downtown Chicago. But Walter was in command then, see. He ain't made Duke and can't hold on much longer. See, you know, Walter used to be around with Lennon and them, sit around in the studio. And it was a little while before he let Bart blow on my water records. Then when he made this juke, he could tell Leonard what he wanted to tell him. That's how I got the recording. Then he let them sit on it. So now I go 54, and I'm signed with Chess. Go to Al Benson, make tough time. So it took a good seller. So he didn't give me a lot. I went back to Chess. Chess knew I was selling. And I made this go away. And that ain't right. And Walter got to do his session and went to my session.
Do you recall what Walter cut? He did some sides the same day that you recorded with him.
Yeah. No, you know, I can remember what me and him did one set that we did My babe, Billy, that's coming down out of the office and did that. Cut that. We did my babe, and I think off the wall. And I did You Got Me While You Want Me. And Be Careful.
So he...
We just did one record apiece.
Okay, and he also cut that same day that you cut. On the second session as well.
Yeah, Lou Walter band backing me. Lou Walter backing most stuff I did on Chess.
Okay. Brother,
Velo on drums. Velo on all of it, yeah. Drums, yeah. Wasn't
Dave and Lewis on
that? On that, in 53, you know, they left. Lou Walter got rid of them, you remember? You know Robert Jr.?
Oh, yeah, Robert Lockwood.
And this boy just died here not long ago. You say you can't remember him. Loser Tucker, he just died not long ago.
You got me why you want me, doing me what you please. Now you got me why you want me, doing me what you please. Just a one way to leave me, leave me in misery. You say you're gonna leave me, baby, like you did before. Now you say you're gonna leave me, baby, like you did before. You know I got a weak heart, I can't stand that no more. Now come home in the evening, babe, I look to find you gone.
Spoke some good words to Leonard for me. And me and Al didn't get together on my road and stuff, so I was already with Leonard. I cut some stuff like Ice Cream Man stuff.
Okay.
They stayed on the shelf for 20 years before they released it. Because, see, Leonard was a little warm with me because I'd let my wife do some stuff with Muddy Water. But he told me a long time after that he really got angry with me. Because I didn't let him, but I my wife for my band, not for my water band. And that he didn't lease the stuff. My water had him to cut it in 53. So then when I made a tough time in 54, Al Benson, he saw I would sell. The little kind of man, he didn't like to gamble. He wanted artists after he know they'll sell. So I get my release from Al Benson, I go back to Chess in 55, so I made... numbers not on the album with Who Muddy Shoes that it got in there. Cashbox Downbeat for 10 plays called Go Away.
How did you pick up these guys who were on that Go Away record, the Dalton Brothers? How did that happen? Who were the Dalton Brothers?
That was our band. There was two brothers.
That band we had.
That band we had in Gary. I picked them up over here.
W.C. Dalton and James Dalton.
They was on Go Away, and that ain't right.
Who played what?
James played the harmonica.
W.C. played guitar.
He played second guitar for me.
How long was that band together? Was that a working band that you had here in Gary?
Yeah, they worked with me here. They worked with me here. I don't know. A couple years or so, wasn't it great?
Yeah, long as we most played it with us.
In that door, my baby's gone. You're gonna worry me some more. Go away, go away, leave me alone. You just come to worry me because my baby's gone. My baby's gone and all alone. This old house, it don't seem the same. My bed lays harder, my pillow do too. She don't come back, I don't know what I'm gonna do. Go away, go away, leave me alone. You just come to worry me because my baby's gone. The same. The way you acting lately, you're going insane. Get a hold of yourself mighty soon. If you don't, we be coming to your funeral. Go away. Go away, leave me alone. You just come to worry me because my baby's gone. A little walk and try to get me some ease. This old place has got me feathery. Look at the sun, it's curving to the west. I know my whole night gone be a silent mess. Go away, go away and leave me alone. You just come to worry me blue because my baby's gone.
As with Chess, after in the 50s, I didn't do any more recording because, I left Chess. He had so many artists, so I left Chess. And I was supposed to go with VJ, where I told you the long story about that. And that I just held up a while, you know, before I did anything else. Quite a few little companies wanted me to do, which I wasn't interested in, you know.
Was there ever a point when you just said, I'm not going to do music anymore, and let it go?
Not him, no.
No, I never. No, Steve, I never did that. But I tell you one thing. I feel not, I don't want you not just be doing it no more. It's not really a big pleasure, and it's nice, too. But as a professional blues artist now, I don't do nothing for little nothing, you know. Why? What you say?
No, I told him I said that, but not you. You're never gonna say you ain't gonna do no more.
she quit a while, but you know that they wanted me over in Europe last year, and the price wasn't right, so I didn't go. You know,
You're the guy who won't fly, though, too, aren't you?
Well, I'm surprised you're good enough. I may take that chance.
Well, no, I'm laughing, but I feel the same way. I didn't fly until I was about 25 or 26, and then when I went, I was keeping that airplane up the whole time myself. So I'm laughing at you, but I'm the same way.
Well, they say what's going to happen, but you know the way I feel about it, that if I'm afraid of something, you can't change my feeling. So money's going to be here when I'm gone, you gone, everybody else, you know. It ain't no good till you gone. So you feel it's going to happen the same way in the car or something. But you feel better driving that car, right? I have a pretty bad accident, I may make it. But you get way up on that, something fired up with that airplane, it ain't going to stay up there. And if it falls too, it's going to destroy everybody. And all
I
the folks. But
with
a car, you have a bad accident, still it may not get killed. You know, that's the way I look at it. Yeah, you can duck that. But
if I had the money, I'm going on up there.
But you know, she ride motorcycle anything. She got a lot of nerve. She go fishing, she's not scared of snakes. I was running with snakes, she be laughing at me. And she's got a lot of nerve, but there's certain things I'm kind of afraid of being around or with, you know. And she like airplanes, she like it. I said, go, I'll wait till you come back.
And there you have it, our interview with John and Grace Brim, husband and wife blues team out of Gary, Indiana. Grace Brim died in 1999, and John died October 1st of 2003. The interview was done September 27th of 1993. And once again, I'll remind you that you can find a transcription of this. It's included in my book for the University of Illinois Press called Blues Before Sunrise, The Radio Interviews. We're going to pause and identify the station, then we'll be back with our fifth and final hour, including the Soul Breakfast. We hope you'll stick around.
To keep you cool. Now summertime is here. Need something to keep you cool. Hey, little girl, I've got something for you. I'm your ice cream man. Stop me when I'm passing by. I'm your ice cream man. Stop me when I'm passing by. Now I cool your little girl, I guarantee I'll satisfy. I got cream sandwiches, Dixie cup, popsicles, and push-ups too. I'm your ice cream man. Stop me when I'm passing by. Your little girl, can't you satisfy?